Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this week is Quinnipiac University political science professor Scott McLean. We're going to take a look back on the legacy of longtime Connecticut politician and former governor Lowell P. Weicker, Jr. Good morning, Professor McLean. Welcome to Face Connecticut.
Good morning to you, Morgan. How's everything?
I'm good. And yourself?
Yeah, wonderful.
Long time since we've talked. Good to have you on the program. And, you know, to start talking about Governor Weicker, I wanted to start off with a statement that came out this week from President Biden, a colleague of his from their time together in the U.S. Senate. And I'm going to read it in full, and then we can go from there, okay?
Okay.
Lowell Weicker and I served together in the United States Senate for nearly two decades. He was blunt, brave, committed to his convictions, and fiercely independent. And I was proud to call him a friend. Throughout his career, from his days as a young Republican senator on the front lines of the Watergate hearings to his years as an independent governor who ignored politics to do what he believed was right, Lowell had the courage to take tough stands, speak the truth, and stand up for the better angels of our nation. He built an extraordinary record of service to the people of Connecticut and to our country, serving in the United States Army as well as in local and state government and as a U.S. congressman, senator, governor, and presidential candidate. He fought for disability rights, helping to lay the groundwork for the passage of the civil rights landmark Americans with Disabilities Act, and worked in Congress for a decade after to boost funding for medical research and disease prevention. Throughout, Lowell was guided not by party but by principle. He was a fearless, moderating force who stood up for those who couldn't always stand up for themselves, and he relished the fight. Jill and I send our love to his wife, Claudia, his three children and extended family, and to the people of Connecticut, whom he served so honorably for so long. As we begin with that statement, Professor McLean, it's important to note that Governor Weicker was more than just a one-term governor in Connecticut. Maybe people recognize him as that because that was kind of his last prominent role in the state. But he held various political offices before he led the state of Connecticut, didn't he?
Yeah, he was first selectman in Greenwich. He represented the 4th Congressional District in Congress before he was a U.S. senator. And he was no amateur when it came to politics, although I think he was a master at talking about politics in a way that wasn't just hewing the party line, which always made him less than popular within his own party and not particularly well loved in the other party, the Democrats either. But Weicker seemed to always know the right tone during his time in Congress. He was someone who lambasted Nixon appointees during the Watergate hearings. He didn't follow the Republican line of taking it easy on Nixon's men as they testified. And it built a reputation for himself as what we would call a maverick. He was a classic maverick in Connecticut politics.
And he served three terms in the Senate, and all of the Watergate stuff happened in his very first term in office. And it would seem to me that it boosted his popularity enough to be elected through the late 1980s.
Yeah, it did. This gave Weicker the ability to run as himself, not so much as a Republican. Although he had the support of the Republican Party in Connecticut, there were many, many challenges to his right from people who would have wanted that nomination for themselves. But Weicker was really able to find that sweet spot, which I don't want to oversimplify with a simplistic formula, but I'll just say that, you know, it's the classic, I'm a liberal on civil rights, but I'm conservative on fiscal policy. And that was his position by supporting civil rights and things like the Americans for Disabilities Act, taking on Nixon, and all of those positions allowed him to get a measure of popularity that just being an anti-tax conservative, which he also was for real fiscal responsibility. It allowed him to find that place where independents could support him, that a lot of Republicans could support him in the election, and even quite a few Democrats could support Lowell Weicker when he ran for reelection.
What led to him running as an independent? Because he had been a Republican for so long, serving Connecticut and certainly as a U.S. senator at the federal level, and then in 1988 lost the U.S. Senate race to Joe Lieberman, made an unlikely political comeback as part of the party called a Connecticut Party, a third-party group. And in modern Connecticut history, that's relatively unheard of. It's usually just Democrat, Republican, and here he comes as an independent. So what led to that unlikely comeback for him?
Well, I think to really summarize it, you know, here he was, 1989, out of his job in the U.S. Senate, defeated by Joe Lieberman, which is a whole other interesting story we could get into.
Okay.
But he's in 1989, and he thinks pretty much his career is over. The Republican Party in the state of Connecticut was fully, you know, had gone fully pro-Reagan. Had, you know, taken on a lot of socially conservative issues and favored them. Weicker was out of favor. He was out of step with the rest of the Republican Party, which was moving towards more social conservatism. And he was very unhappy with the positions of then U.S. Representative John Rowland, who was planning to run for governor. He thought Rowland was far, far too conservative. He didn't agree with Rowland on social issues or social policy issues. He didn't think Rowland had the right approach in economic policy in the state. And he really thought that he needed to run for governor. But he knew that he couldn't run as a Republican, and that was really a fateful thing, that he felt he was out of step with the Republicans. But he also saw that the Democrats really didn't have a strong candidate running that year. He thought that he could win. And he had the advantage of name recognition. He was able to basically say that I'm conservative, but I'm more moderate to liberal on social issues and social programs. And he was able to put together a coalition of independents, some Republicans that were unsatisfied with the right turn in the Republican Party, and four centrist Democrats who were not happy with the moving to the left in the Democratic Party. And essentially, it was the same coalition that he had run with when he lost the Senate, that Lieberman had gotten more votes than him. But he was able to really say, you know, only lost to Lieberman by a slim margin. Maybe I can win governor. And he did. And I think it was only after he got into the race that he could also see that the state of Connecticut was on the verge of bankruptcy, which then led to the income tax and all that followed.
Quinnipiac University Professor of Political Science Scott McLean is our guest this morning on Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham. And as you mentioned, it's very interesting that he lost the U.S. Senate race to Joe Lieberman. And, you know, one question people might wonder is it because he was losing a connection to the Republican Party, as it typically would be known and identified as, obviously because he became an independent when he ran for governor? But was he losing that identity several years before?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, we have to remember that it was a highly competitive race between himself and Lieberman. And Lieberman had the advantage in that race just simply because by that time, Democratic Party registration was just so far ahead of Republican Party registration that just by having the party label, Lieberman had the advantage in that race. And what's quite ironic is that in many ways, Lieberman is the mirror image of Weicker. Lieberman smartly thought that he could win over Republican votes by running to the right of Lowell Weicker on social questions, on limitations of government. Weicker was a Republican who actually, I think, is pretty easy to show, ran slightly to the left of Joe Lieberman in that race. And it was just a matter of political arithmetic of who would end up assembling the right combination of some Republican votes, some Democratic votes, and who would win over the independents. And in that race, it was Lieberman that came out on top. But, you know, we always have to remember that Weicker used the same formula to run for governor, and that time it worked.
What do we know about the contention surrounding the income tax and Weicker's claims that he was against it when he was campaigning, but in the very first year, because this is what a lot of people remember him for as governor, passed it through using muscle and political connections that he had to win over enough support to get that income tax passed through. But he initially was against it, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think, as I've said before, Weicker was a fiscal conservative. He did not like taxes. He had a reputation as a liberal on social issues and opposition to the Nixon administration and Watergate, but he was fiscally conservative. He didn't like taxes. But when he got closer to the point of winning the governorship, he could do the math and he could see that the state of Connecticut would be in utter turmoil and a horrible recession if the government had to dramatically cut back on its spending in order to balance the books. And he could just see that there was no other way to do this other than having an income tax. Well, no other way that would be consistent with his principles of fairness and equity, that the kinds of cuts that would have to be made would have really hurt the middle class in the state of Connecticut. Also would have hurt business. There were already layoffs, massive layoffs going on in the state. He could see that there was no choice. But I think while he came to the idea of income tax reluctantly and only after it was obvious to him that it was necessary, you see that part of Weicker's psychology, his moral psychology, is that once he'd made up his mind that something was necessary and right to do, he put 100% into it. It became a crusade for him. He knew that he would have a titanic political battle with the Republicans and even with Democrats to make this happen. And he did use strong arm tactics. He did force it through using all the powers of his office to forge that all important coalition of Democrats from the urban areas. And some of the Republicans, which at that time there were some urban Republicans, that he could get enough votes to push this major change in. And, not many people remember that the largest anti-government protest that ever took place in Connecticut took place over the income tax. So thousands of people surrounding the state house and Weicker basically facing them down. And being so morally committed to doing this, that I think it gave confidence to his allies that he was serious and that this wasn't just a partisan move, that he was willing to be a one-term governor to get this through. And he was. And I think people remember him for that, whether you agree with the income tax move or not.
Is there any connection between what happened in Connecticut with the income tax and what happened at the national level around the same time with President Bush saying, read my lips, no new taxes, but there were, in fact, new taxes? Is there any connection there?
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, George H.W. Bush and Lowell Weicker, you know, come from that same mold of the classic Connecticut Republican, you know, pro-business, but moderate, and not, you know, on social issues, definitely, you know, for in favor of expanding rights, you know. Weicker was pro-choice on the abortion question when it was still possible to be pro-choice as a Republican and not lose re-election. And Bush shared many of those same qualities. It was that form of Connecticut Republican that was still around from about the 1920s until the 1970s, where Republicans were very pragmatic, but very pro-business and willing to use government to support business and, you know, beyond the issue of just being anti-tax. I just as a side note, if you referenced the Bush line, you know, read my lips, no new taxes, which was probably an unwise statement to make in the first place, or a commitment to make in the first place. Weicker would not have made such a statement. He was open to whatever it would take to make the state of Connecticut flourish. He was willing, as we know, he was more than willing to have new taxes if it meant cutting other kinds of taxes like the corporate taxes, and to control property taxes in the state, which he saw as very unfair and regressive. That no one loves income taxes, but Weicker was fond of saying that at least those with the most ability to pay taxes are paying a little bit more, and those with less means are paying a little bit less as a percentage of their income.
I'd like to bring us into the present day here. Governor Lamont remembers him as a close friend and also a political colleague. And it was during one of the 2022 gubernatorial debates that was on News 8 WTNH when he was asked what favorite governor he had of his lifetime in Connecticut. And he paused for a moment and then said Lowell Weicker. And if you listen very closely, it sounds like there's some surprise in the audience. A few gasps. Not many, but a few. And so why would it take some people by surprise to hear Governor Lamont say that? Is it because of the taxes? Is it because that he was a Republican that turned independent? What was it that might have caused that surprise, but still the allegiance Governor Lamont has to him to this day?
Wow, what a question. I think, of course, the best answer would be to ask Governor Lamont himself that question. But in his absence, I can speculate a little bit. I think part of the speculation is that Lamont is also a maverick. If you remember, in 2006, it was Lamont that ran against the Democratic Party, had an insurgent campaign running for Senate in the Democratic Party against Joe Lieberman, and he won. Lamont comes from Greenwich area. They both have that background of knowing that part of the state and being sort of products of that part of the state. And Lamont has always, until he won the governorship, has always been someone who has been not closely tied to the party. Now, Lamont can do that because he's a millionaire. He didn't need the party's money. He was able to appeal to independents as being a different from the Democratic Party, but he never quite strayed away from the Democratic Party. And that's the approach that Weicker took when Weicker was in the Senate. Weicker's own party did not have any great love for his positions, but Weicker stuck with the party until he could no longer do that in 1994. I guess there might be one other factor here is that, and maybe it's a human factor, but there's something admirable about Lowell Weicker's sense of personal responsibility to the office and his lack of blind allegiance to any political party. And I think, although people strongly associate Governor Lamont with the liberal Democrats and a far left approach, it's Lamont who was the one who was willing to oppose his own party on a lot of key issues in the past couple of years, during an unpopular time when he could have become deeply unpopular during the COVID epidemic and the shutdown, doing a lot of things that were fiscally responsible, even though not politically popular, even with his own party, and just sort of showing that willingness to resist the winds of politics and partisanship that prevailed at the time in favor of what might be called the longer term view of the good of the state. And I think he admired that aspect of Weicker, but I mean, we should ask him ourselves someday.
Professor McLean, my last question for you. When the history books are updated, how are they going to look back at Governor Weicker and his administration?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, you never know, but I think, what we're doing right now in our conversation and in pieces that are being written around the state is, sort of the first draft of that history. And I think what I'm seeing is that Weicker is remembered as a maverick, someone who, although didn't bring the prosperity that we had hoped for in the state of Connecticut, I think there's no doubt that Connecticut would have been in far worse shape if Weicker had not been the governor who could make an income tax happen. And I think even those who still resist and hate the income tax in the state of Connecticut would at least be willing to grant that Weicker made it happen. And that Weicker made it happen more because he thought it was necessary and right, and not because it was politically popular. And we need historical figures like that to remind us that it isn't always about my party beating out your party or holding on to office at all costs, but that to tell the straight, blunt truth to people about the situation, and then taking a very moral stand about what you think is right, no matter how the chips may fall.
Quinnipiac University Professor of Political Science, Scott McLean, with us this morning on Face Connecticut. I really appreciate your time for coming on. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for talking to me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.